right, let's take our Bible. Let's turn to Acts 20, 24, our memory verse this month. And let's look at it. Actually, let me take you. We will come back to that. I need you to go to Matthew chapter 20 for an introduction. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25. I want to talk about Paul, an unmovable minister. Paul, an unmovable minister. A lot of us are very good at being stubborn. We're very good at being stubborn. Sometimes we dig our heels in, but we do it usually for the wrong reason and with the wrong results. The goal this morning is to learn how to be unmovable servants. Unmovable servants. Matthew chapter 20, I want to show you something. It's a well-known verse, set of scriptures, but very rarely lived. And I'm hoping that it helps everybody this morning. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 says this. Matthew 20, 25. But Jesus called them, his 12, unto him, and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles, those guys in leadership, they exercise dominion over them. They that are great exercise authority upon all the Gentiles. Verse 26, but it shall not be so among you. Look at the difference that Christianity ought to be. We're not out to exercise dominion, to take over, to riot. Verse 26, it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be, what's the next word? Your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man, speaking of himself, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now this month is a month that we've dedicated to a focus on ministry, the open door, the opportunities of ministry. And really, to serve the Lord is our ministry. Our ministry is not to serve people. Everything we do, even though those kids are being really blessed and encouraged in Sunday school, they're not the ones that Nita and Miss Jennifer are serving. They're serving the Lord. The kids just happen to be the beneficiary, amen? They just get the blessing of it as they serve the Lord. Folks, let me tell you, there is honor in being a servant. By nature, don't we normally love attention? We love pampering. We love being served. Christ came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life. Look how far it went as a ransom for many. So he calls every Christian to serve, to be like him. Do you know the Lord is the reason why I serve? He's the reason why I preach. He was the reason why I do anything from the moment that I believed on him and was born again. He became the reason why I do anything now. Jesus is the reason that I went out on Sunday mornings as a 17-year-old long-haired hippie. And I started to invite people to come out to hear preaching on Sunday morning. I wasn't inviting them to hear me. I was inviting them to hear somebody open up the Bible and preach the gospel. Why was I out there knees knocking, terrified, embarrassed? Why was I knocking on somebody's door and inviting them out to church? For Jesus. He became my ministry. He's the reason why I went off to Bible college to be trained as a pastor and as a preacher and as a missionary. He's the reason. He was the reason why I left New Jersey, although there are plenty of other good reasons to leave New Jersey. But I'm not watching it. This one is the truth. He was the main reason why I left New Jersey to come to Ireland and start a New Testament Bible-believing Baptist church. Amen? He's the reason. He's the reason why I married my wife. He's the reason why I carry burdens and heartaches and why I go through valleys and climb mountains. He is the reason. The Lord Jesus is my only reason for serving. Because I love him. To serve the Lord is our ministry. The question is, however, how to stay serving. We had a memory verse last year. It's 1 Corinthians 15:58 that says this. That's right. My beloved, be ye steadfast, movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know what we abound in? Complaining. You know what we abound in? Murdering. You know what we complain, what we abound in? Everything unspiritual. And Paul said, you need to abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Everything in life, everything in this life, by nature, is pressure pushing us away from God. Do you know it's natural to quit? It is natural to give up. It is natural to resign. It is natural to go with the flow, which, by the way, always leads downhill. Amen? God needs some servants that will stay serving. God needs ministers that become unmovable in their course for Him. The Apostle Paul tells us a secret. He gives us, in Acts chapter 20, if you'll go there now, verse 24, he gives us the answer to what enabled him to stay the course. What helped him to finish what God started in his life. How he became an unmovable servant, an unmovable minister. Acts chapter 20. Really, Paul's secret for unmovableness. Jennifer should be here because she always likes the big words. So you're a reminder of that new one, an unmovableness in ministry. Really, if you'll notice here, Acts 20:24, we have read it, but we'll read it until we go home to heaven. But none of these things, watch this, move me. Nothing is going to move me, not even my life being at risk. He says, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And I want to finish the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. There are three things in that verse. First of all, Paul's secret for unmovableness is he wanted to finish something. He was a finisher. Everybody can start. It's somebody that has a determination unlike anything in the world that finishes. And a secret for him being unmovable was he said, I'm not quitting until it's quitting time. Amen. I'm going to finish. Secondly, he holds on to his joy. You know why you won't be in church when the pressure gets on? Do you know why you'll stop reading your Bible? Do you know why you'll get mad at the preacher? You know why you'll stop giving? Do you know why you won't care about missions? Do you know why you won't go out soul winning? Because you lost your joy. If you had joy, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Doesn't matter. If you came into this room and you got a hymnal, if you had joy, we could tell. But if you're looking for the pumped up drum set and bass guitar to give you the feeling to sing and to have joy, you came to the wrong place. If you have joy, you'll do anything. Amen? You need to keep your joy. And third, by staying with the simple gospel. What they say when you're a kid? K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid. Heavy on the stupid. Keep it simple. Do you know what? We think of the ministry. We think, oh, I could never teach Sunday school. The lessons are 400 pages long. All of the flannelgraphs, there's 3,000 flannelgraph images to coordinate. No, it's simple. We're going to focus on these three things this morning. Let's bow in prayer. Father, please help us. Yes, to start in a ministry. There are plenty in this room who aren't doing anything, and God help them to get under the conviction that they need to be doing something for you. You are our ministry. We need to start serving you. But God, help us so that starters become finishers. If people don't come and go and play the game. Don't make it an on-again, off-again type of scenario. But God, our Christianity is based upon the faithfulness of God. And therefore, we too can be faithful, and we ought to be. Make us into unmovable ministers. Lord, I pray, God, you teach us just how faithful you are. Lord, that you'd help somebody to realize that you saved them to serve. Maybe in this room there's somebody who's never been saved. They've never known the joy. All they've done is work, 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 and there's been no joy. They've got to start with Jesus. They've got to start with the author and the finisher of joy. They've got to start with the beginning and the end of all reasons why we do anything. And if only somebody in this room would realize that your son died for them. gave his life so that they might have life. Nothing in this world, no sin, no slick advertising, no bit of entertainment or pleasure can satisfy. Only Jesus can make worth life worth living. So I pray that you would meet with us today. Please change all of our lives. Make us into servants and make us into unmovable servants. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. First thing he says, let's look at it again. We'll look at it several times this morning. Acts 20:24, he says, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course." Yes, with joy. I'm going to talk about joy in a second. I want to see, he says, I don't have a focus on my life anymore. Before I got saved, and it's true probably in your life, before I got saved, same thing was true with Paul, before he got saved and you and I got saved, you know what we did? We thought of ourselves. Everything that was in our life was about us. Most people get married for selfish reasons. We're not givers. We're takers. Most people hate having children because children are takers too, and we don't like competition. Think about that for a second. Most people go to work only to get. A Christian goes because they're serving the Lord, don't they? It's as unto the Lord you're doing it now. You see, it's a little bit reversed. Christianity here, Paul describes as something that is a life of servanthood, a life of ministry, and nothing is going to be allowed to interfere with that service because he prizes it. He loves his ministry. Would you agree? He loves it more than life itself. He says, I'd rather be preaching than anything else, even if somebody's getting ready to stone me. That's what he said. He said, I know there's nothing but trouble ahead of me, but it doesn't faze me at all. Doesn't move me off course at all. Because my ministry, my ability to serve started with Jesus Christ. He changed my wants. He changed my desires. He changed my design. He saved me to serve. And now I find no joy in doing anything else but serving. Finish your course, he says. Now, a course is a direction that a Christian's going. It's supposed to be the will of God. It's the direction God wants you to go. And thankfully, this course is laid out by God. It's not feel around and find your own way. Can you imagine if you said, on your marks, get set, go, and everybody just went in every directions? And yet that's modern Christianity. Most people won't get under the preaching of the Bible. Most people won't get in line and work with other people on a project. Most people only want to do what they want to do. So they run their own little race and nothing gets done. Amen. But we're supposed to run a course. By the way, this course that we're running is different than the way we used to live. Amen. You know what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1? He says, before I got saved, I was a blasphemer. I was ungodly. I was a persecutor. He says, I was a murderer. I hated Christianity. Every word that I could use to slam and to slur the name of Jesus Christ was my word. And I loved the blaspheming that I could do against Jesus. And I came to find out I was blaspheming God. And he was saved. And from that moment, he did a different turn. He made a different course. I'm afraid most people, when they come to Jesus, they just add him to their lives. You know what I did? I threw away my old life. I took the new life he had, which meant taking a whole new course. If you had said, when I got saved, if you had said to me, Craig, do you want to be a missionary? You know what I'd said? No. At that time, I would have said something else, but I wasn't going to say it. No, I don't want to be a missionary. If you had said, Craig, do you want to go to Ireland? I didn't even know where Ireland was. Texans aren't all that smart about things that are outside of Texas. So if it was outside of Texas, I wasn't interested in it. I'll get you later, don't worry. But you know, when I got saved, it was up to the Lord now. It wasn't my decision. And I'm glad for it. He's a whole lot smarter than I am. Amen? He's a whole lot more well-equipped to know the end from the beginning, so he knows, Craig, you do this, this will happen. You do that, that's going to happen. Let me tell you, stay with this. Amen? So, the course, really it's a totally new course. Matthew 18, verse 3 says this, except ye be converted and become, he's talking to adults, and become as little children, not teenagers, as hard as that would be. He says, you got to become like a little kid again. You shall have no part in the kingdom of heaven. The point is this, you're going to start all over. It's a whole new course you're having to run, amen? It's a totally different course. Hey, yes, it's toward heaven, amen? I know my destination. I believe in predestination. The moment I got the ticket, I was predestined to get to heaven. It's kind of like marching on an airplane. When I sat down on an airplane, guess what? I'm headed somewhere, amen? And the moment I got into Jesus Christ, I am headed somewhere. I am on my way. That part is easy. Jesus fixed your destination. But of course, the path you walk on your way, going there, that's you. You ever seen somebody nervous on an airplane? Back in the back, and they're like this, and they're looking, I was like, and the rest of us are just sitting down and enjoying the ride, amen? It's up to you how you take the ride. I'm going to enjoy the ride, amen? But there is another new course. And that is the course that is on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day, decision-by-decision following of Jesus Christ. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus react? What would he say if he were in your shoes? That is the course you're supposed to walk. And that is where the will of God matters. Are you on course or off course is the question. Do you even know what direction to go? You say, man, I don't even know God's will. That's the first step is admitting, I don't know where to go. Some of you have even started doing the will of God. You know what is amazing? Some of you are terrified of the will of God. You know that God's going to call you to be a missionary. You know it. And he's going to call you to eat tarantulas. You know that. So you just say, Lord, I don't want to know the will of God. You are so missing the point. Ought to prove the point. I'd rather eat tarantulas than be eaten in the middle of a whale's belly in hydrochloric acid. Amen? Although I don't think anybody's ever had to eat tarantulas, by the way. Monkey meat, yes, but tarantulas, no. Are you on course? If you are, let me say this. If you are doing, no, don't go there yet. If you are doing anything other than the will of God for your life, then you are off course. You're missing the purpose of your life, and you will only know regrets and bitterness. Did you hear what I said? If you're not doing God's will, you're never going to be happy. Paul had joy because he was in the middle of the will of God. There's no joy outside of it. You may have happiness, but happiness is one of the things that comes and goes very quickly. The example of Israel is a great thing. They were freed by miraculous warfare. What was the warfare that freed them from slavery? The blood of a lamb. No fighting, no armies. The warfare was accomplished by the sacrifice of an innocent for the guilty. They weren't innocent. They weren't worthy of this. It was the blood of the lamb applied to the doorpost of each one of their homes that broke the bond of Pharaoh and destroyed Egypt. And they walked out with great joy and great pride and great excitement. And they were headed on a new course, weren't they? No longer in slavery. They were headed for the promised land. I like that. That's a good positive name. They're going to a place they've never seen before. And they says, can't wait to get there. Were they headed for heaven? Wasn't a picture of heaven. It was a picture of their life, of where they were supposed to be. They weren't supposed to be in bondage to slavery. They were supposed to be in a place where they built their homes, they raised their kids, they taught their kids, they worshiped God. That was their life to live. They were supposed to get there. Yet most did not even finish their course. Most of them got derailed. All but two died in that circular wilderness wandering. Why? Because they weren't willing to say like Paul, none of these things are going to move me. When they had 10 people saying, we can't do it, we can't do it. They believed him instead of the two who said, are you kidding? It's not us, it's God. Let's do it. when they found themselves being surrounded by enemies, and when they were constantly going from battle to battle and sometimes necessity to necessity, they let those things move them away from the will of God. And so an entire adult nation died in the wilderness. And only two guys got to finish the course. Who were they? Anybody remember? Joshua and Caleb. Basically, because of griping, complaining, and unbelief, you ought to be afraid of those three things, man. Griping, complaining, and unbelief. They will knock you off your horse every day, every time. Basically, what are you willing to risk so that you miss the promised land for your life? The perfect will of God, the place you ought to be. If I were you, I would tell God, God, from this moment on, I am as flexible as you ever seen these dandelion things that have seeds on them? They're real fragile. The dandelions have these pods that grow up, and you just go, and just you ought to be just like that. When the Holy Spirit says, you go. That's yieldedness. Did you know there's not supposed to be any quitting in the life of a Christian? Go to 1 Corinthians. You can leave that for a minute. Go to 1 Corinthians, verse 13, chapter 16, verse 13. I love this verse. And by the way, it is translated correctly in your King James Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 says this. First Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, keep your eyes open, be fully aware of your enemy. Look at what he next says. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Now, quit you like men. I've seen a lot of men quit. But he's not talking about quitting. He's talking about finish like men. You see what the point is? Finish like a man. Thank Jesus that he didn't quit on us. Yeah, I think it's the most shameful thing to start running a race and not finish it. What was her name? Good night. Sonia O'Sullivan. Remember, like 5 or 6 years ago, she was running in the Olympics, and she was running, trying to get up to run. I don't remember where those were. Those in Athens? Where was those Olympics there? And Sonia O'Sullivan got out there, started running, and then pulled right off. Two or three times she did that. Utter shame. That would be embarrassing. Now, she had all her reasons, I understand that, but can you imagine getting out and everybody shouting and hooting and hollering for her, and then she pulling off the race? And you know, you wonder why sometimes you get discouraged? Because you see some people, and then they pull off the race. And you go, where'd they go? Where'd they go? Did you know you don't have to be very swift or smart to run a race? You just have to finish. Stay the course. Stay faithful in the race. Look at, you're in 1 Corinthians, go back to chapter 4 and verse 2. Look at what the Lord requires. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required. This is what is expected in stewards and people who have been given something from God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? I like that word found. You know what that means? It means, it's kind of like you're on the job and you're for 8 hours, you're supposed to be doing a job. You're supposed to be doing something. And your boss should always be able to find you faithful. You shouldn't have to have the boss hanging over you. You shouldn't have to have CCTV cameras watching you. You shouldn't have to have electronic tags on everything so that you're not messing with things or whatever. The boss should be able to come in and just look and go, yeah, they're working, and then go back out and do his business. Amen? And it's required of a steward that you should be found at any time faithful. If I meet you on Tuesday, you should be faithfully have been in your word already Monday and Tuesday. Amen. Amen. We should be faithful. We finish the course. Folks, the challenge is to be a finisher. Look at Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8. Ecclesiastes is after Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, and then comes Ecclesiastes. Actually, Ecclesiastes is before Song of Solomon, forgive me. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8 says this. And some of you have never experienced this verse and the truth of it because you haven't finished anything in your life. You didn't finish school. You didn't finish college. You didn't even finish your breakfast. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 8 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit, but that first part is the key. But you know, folks, the world is filled with quitters. And churches are filled with people who jump ship, turn around, give up, and stop following the Savior. If you are nothing else, I don't care if you can't sing, I don't care if you can't preach, I don't care if you can't teach, I don't care, and God doesn't care if you can do nothing. Whatever you start, if you're a Christian, you better finish. You start a marriage, you better finish it. You have a kid, I know you want to kill him, but don't do it. Finish it. Raise him for God, amen? Amen. You start work at a company, everybody else wants to quit, everybody else doesn't think they're being paid enough, you stay with it till God moves you instead of your heart and your little problems. You start to build a house, you know it takes hard work to finish it. Finish it. Sean's over there getting some ribbing because he's working on his house. But Tony was telling me there's a house out on the end of, just over there by Kilbritton. He says there's a house somebody started to build, and they stopped. And they're never going to finish it. It's really in a bad spot. But it's just a shell of something out there. There are a lot of houses like that these days, amen. It's an embarrassment. Hey, you start to read your Bible, you better set out to finish it. Good night. I'm embarrassed to ask right now how many of you have ever read your Bible all the way through from start to finish. I'm embarrassed because I know half of you haven't. Be a finisher. Have you started something for God? Then finish it. Have you started going out soul winning on Saturdays? Hey, get back in it and start with us and let's finish it. Amen. You started discipleship? Our discipleship's not 1, 2, 3, get it over with. Ours isn't 10 easy lessons. Ours is 2 years long. You start going, everybody has the same testimony. Oh, we're so excited. We're getting into discipleship. 6 weeks, this is getting long. 6 months, I got to quit. After a year, it's like, oh, it's getting good again. After 2 years, praise God. Ain't nobody going to move me from the truth of the Word of God. But it takes a while, doesn't it? Be a finisher. Be a finisher. Did you know the ministry takes work? It says over in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, if any man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. You don't even have to be called to say, Pastor, I wonder, am I supposed to preach? Because you may not know until we put you in preacher's workshop and you learn how to do it, and then all of a sudden you start to enjoy it and you start seeing that the calling of God is in your life. And you start to find out how much work is involved. God just doesn't grab you by the nape of the neck like a cat does his kitten. And drag you and you are going to preach. That's not what God does. We kind of just sit and we wait. God, if you really want me to preach, then move me. You don't want to pray that because there are earthquakes, amen. And there are whales, there are all kinds of things. Folks, be a finisher. Look at the example. Go to John chapter 17. You're in Ecclesiastes. Go to John chapter 17 in verse 4. Do you know Jesus was a finisher? What were his three greatest words ever spoken? It is finished. There's nothing. Hey, you know what it's like? You watch these guys, and the politicians are amazing because they're just like us. And there'll be 200 politicians out at the groundbreaking ceremony of a big hotel. Big, beautiful pink ribbon out there. Huge fake scissors, you know. And they cut the ribbon, and some guy's got this shovel, and he goes, and everybody goes, it's a groundbreaking. You know what I'm talking about? They're not going to do anything like those in a while here in Ireland. But they break the ground, and then everybody goes home. And then the work begins. Then the work begins. But there's nothing like when the last finish, Brother Dennis, is put on, and all of the staining is done, and all the cornicing, and all the floor work, and all of the ornate design on the ceilings. When it's all done, and every worker goes out of there, and they go, now it's finished. there's something that only a few get to experience, and that is, it was hard work, but look at what's standing. Look at the result of our efforts. And most people don't have any self-worth. Most people don't have any self-confidence because they never finished anything. There's one thing I want to do in this church. I want to make a bunch of finishers. Be a finisher. John 17:4 says this, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I think that's cool. Philippians 3:13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't finished. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are still before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. I ain't stopping till I'm finished, is what he's saying. Be a finisher. I kid the guys with Bible Institute. It's not easy. Bible Institute make you cry. And I love it. No. You don't have to make great grades. Do you understand? Did you know when you went for a job, you know what they did? When they looked at your education, they looked at your past experience, you know what they were looking for? Did he finish? Did she finish? They don't go, and what grade did you get in chemistry? And what class did you finish? They want to know, did you finish? I'll help you finish. Amen? Don't worry about success. Don't worry about being the best. Just finish. Be a finisher. You need to look at that old man you married. You look at that old woman. Don't say it to her. You need to look at that old woman you married and saying, we finishing this thing for God. Amen? Whatever ministry you're doing, you know what Joseph, he's supposed to not be here. At least he's allowed to be here, but not say anything. But you know what he wants to do? He wants to get up here and finish what God's taught him. He wants to get up, and even if he's hoarse, I mean, one of these days he may be having to do Morse code. I don't know what he's going to do. But he's going to finish. That's what he wants to do. Amen? Doesn't it thrill your heart? Be a finisher. Secondly, keep your joy. Back to Acts 20:24. I think this is such an amazing two words in here. Acts 20:24. He says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course. And then he adds two words, with joy. Now we're talking about how to stay serving the Lord, how to continue when the pressure is always on you to quit, how to be servants that stay ministering and are unmovable in their course. Listen, to be a finisher, to be the right kind of finisher, requires that you finish with joy. It is no good to finish something with a bad attitude, amen? None of us allow our teenagers to take the rubbish out with a bad attitude, do we? Huh? Johnny, it's time to take the rubbish out. Why do I always have to take the rubbish? How come Mom didn't take the rubbish out? How come I'm the only rubbish? I'm not the rubbish collector here. You take it out or this boot is fitting somewhere. I hate taking the rubbish out. Now I got to clean it up, you know. I don't know if you allow that in your home, but I don't. If you're supposed to do something, you're supposed to do it with a sweetly tempered attitude. Amen? Amen? Fake it if you have to, but you're doing it without the bad attitude visible. Amen? Because you should do a job with joy. That's a Christian thing. Many a marriage lasts decades, but without the joy it should have had. And you know whose fault it is? Yours! If you and that woman can't get along, quit blaming. That's what Adam and Eve did, and they started the whole problem. Guess what? Make it heaven. You ought to finish what you start with joy. Many a young person has grown up, sowed their sinful lives, and ended up cold and bitter and angry because they lost their joy. They started growing up, and they forgot the joy. They went for the fun. They went for the entertainment. They went for the pleasure. They went for the boys. They went for the girls. They went for the nights, and they lost everything. Many a Christian used to love their Bible, used to love preaching, used to love God, and yet they fell out with someone, or they got into some sinful habit, and they lost their joy, and they ended up backslidden, cold and hard and bitter and empty. Is that what you want to be? I'd be very afraid. Sometimes I'm walking around and I'm praying and I start kicking myself going, Ledbetter, don't you get down. Don't you start messing around with these stupid thoughts that come into your mind of, well, so-and-so's got this burden and this is too big. It's this thing's going on and how's that going to end out? They're not the reason why I'm doing this. You remember my first point? I minister to him. Everybody else just gets the benefit of it. Amen? A Christian's joy is probably the most lost or stolen thing today. Do you know, Satan can come along and rob you of your joy. He can't take your salvation, but he can take pretty well everything else. You can lose your joy. You can swap out real Christian joy for a cheap thrill. Some stupid late night television you tried to watch last night, if you sat there until 11, 12, 1 o'clock, the devil's trying to rob you of the ability to get a blessing from Sunday morning. And that's why some people aren't here this morning, by the way. Because that idiot box offered them a little thrill. And for some of you, it's on the internet. Some of you, it's yakking on the phone for 4 hours. And so you have no ability to get up on Sunday morning and get a blessing. You'll blow the joy for a little bit of fun. You let joy slip out of your life when you lust for something that this world vainly offers you. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Go to the right, find Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 24. You know what's funny? They celebrated the anniversary of the pill this week. So all of these people are being interviewed. What did you think about the effect of the pill on the world? The effect of the pill on feminism? The effect of the pill? You know what I'm talking about, the contraceptive pill that everybody's just living on, by the way. And they're promoting it. And all these people saying, it liberated women, it liberated women. Do you ever hear of a woman named Raquel Welch? Anybody know that name? Some of us who are old enough, we know that name. You know what she said? It nearly ruined our world. She said, if I knew then what I know now after 4 marriages and after raising my kids alone, if I knew then how stupid I was thinking that pill freed me. That pill didn't free me. It enslaved me to an idea that was unattainable. You know how to lose your joy? Throw it away in some bed with some guy who doesn't love you and doesn't want you, just wants to take. That's how to lose your joy. Our enemy is a robber and a thief, and he doesn't give anything back. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Would have been a powerful thing. Could have been a great thing. He could have been Pharaoh. But he chose, verse 25, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Happiness disappears like vapor. You better get a good grip on what is truly good and truly thrilling and truly exciting and never let it go. We're talking about the priceless things of joy. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah 61. Let me show you something. We're talking about the joy of salvation. Do you know you can lose the joy of being saved? Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. My Bible is wearing out, which is a good sign. You know, a Bible that is wearing out proves that you're not. Isaiah 61 and verse 10 says this, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Why? For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Here you go, Gina. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels, there is going to be a smile, I hope, on her face. from ear to ear when she's decked out, ready to go down that aisle. And we don't have that kind of joy just getting up in the morning going, I'm still saved. Woo! My groom still loves his bride. Amen? Folks, and yet, go to Psalm 51. Go to the left quickly. Psalm 51. And yet you can blow it. You can lose it. Psalm 51 and verse 12. David has blown it with a one-night stand, with a filthy, wicked relationship. He threw it away, and that one sin led to another and to another, and it destroyed multitudes of people and homes. It was so easy to get into, but so hard to come out. And when he finally does get right with God, look at what he prays in verse 12. He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You can lose it. Some of you have, and you don't even care. And I worry about you. Because if you're not happy being saved, I wonder if you're saved. Secondly, we're talking about the joy of supplication. That's the word for prayer. Got to find all the words with S. John chapter 16, quickly. The Gospel of John chapter 16 and verse 24. John 16, 24 says this, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. So ask, and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. You know, there's just a priceless joy in knowing that God of heaven is listening and wants to answer your prayer. I don't have power. He does. And there's something awesome about coming away after a while on your knees, sometimes crying, sometimes broken, and you just casting all your care upon him. You get up and you go, woo. He's going to do something. There is a joy that comes by asking and believing. And you can blow it by not even praying. How about serving? You're in John. Look at chapter 13, verse 12. John 13, 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken up his garments, so he puts back on his clothes because he was down in his underwear. He was like a servant. After he'd washed their feet, and had taken his garments and was set down again at that Last Supper, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Do you know what I just did? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. Well, if I, then, your Lord and Master, have washed your stinking feet. It's in the original, by the way. If I have washed your stinking feet, ye also ought to wash one another's stinking feet. For I have given you a what? An example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye what? If you start doing them. There is such joy in serving. I'm telling you, next week when we lay out and we set up for the ministry Sunday, you ought to be saying, God, I watch Pastor, I watch Joseph, I watch Dan, I watch all of these people. I've watched Andrew and Jennifer as they get excited to serve the Lord, starting a church also here in Ireland. I've watched all these servants, and they're excited. I want in on it. That's what you need to start thinking. You need to start looking at these things as your opportunity to know joy. Because there's joy in serving. There's also joy in being Spirit-filled. Galatians 5:22 says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. You know what happens when you ignore the flesh, when you ignore the imagination, when you ignore the heart, when you ignore the hurt, when you ignore the feelings, and you just listen for that still small voice, and you say, Lord, no matter what, I just want to do what you want me to do. I want to walk in the Spirit so I don't fulfill the lust of flesh. I want to know the mind of Christ. I want to have the heart of God. Lord, how should I be? And the Lord says he'll give you joy. You'll go, cool. I've been missing it all my life. Spirit filling. We're talking about the joy, the priceless joy of submission. Go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Some of you teenagers are missing. Some of you ladies, you got it all figured out. Your husband is a jerk. Figured out. Your parents are capital S, capital T, capital U, capital P, capital... I don't even know how to spell it. Did you know the moment you step out from under and get out of submission to your authority, I don't care if your husband is a jerk, you better listen to him, and you better work with him, and you better identify what God wants you to do, not what you want to do, and work with your authority. The moment you step out, the moment you enter into Satan's territory, and there is no joy there. As hard as it may be, I would rather have freedom under my authority than bondage out of my authority. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for, not they're not looking for anything else except your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with what? And not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. There is so much, you know, it's just a whole lot easier just to give in. Amen? We live in a wicked day where we're given into the wrong pressures. The friends. The belly. We're given into all the wrong pressures. You better give into the right things, and you'll know joy. Soul winning. Matthew 18, 12, and 13, real quick. Matthew 18. I really love this part of the message. We got one more thing, and it'll go very quickly, but this is so important to me. Most Christians don't know the joy, the priceless joy of soul winning. Matthew 18, 12 says this. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye? Tell me what you think. If a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he does what? He rejoiceth more of that one sheep than of the 99 that went not astray. I tell you what, you got a bad day, go soul winning, it'll make up for a bad year. Amen. There is joy. You're talking about joy in serving. There is joy in soul winning. When you see somebody get on their knees and cry out and God change their life and transform and free them from sin and give them everything that God gave you, and you watch them just grow as little babies up into strong service of the Lord, and you were part of that, you would quit your job and do it full time because there's joy, priceless joy in soul winning. You know, it's a shame. Most of you, I hope you've experienced the joy of salvation, but you'll lose it. I hope you know the joy of prayer. I hope you know the joy of serving. I hope you know the joy of walking in the Spirit, being filled, submission, soul winning. But I'm afraid we're like a bunch of lemons. Our joy comes from Jesus Christ. Our joy, John 15, 11 says this. John 15, 11, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. So where are you going to get joy from? From him. And that your joy might be full. You say, I'm running a little dry, Pastor. I don't seem to have my joy. Two things you need to have. One is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, you need to renew your joy in the Bible. First John says this, these things have I written unto you that your joy might be full. So the Bible is written to give us back that joy, to fill up that joy. Third point, and I'll be finished. How are you gonna stay serving the Lord? Stay simple with the gospel. Back there in Acts 20, 24, look at this. Look what he says. Paul is probably, and was, because of everything that had been in his life and the experiences that he had and all that God had taught him, he was the greatest theologian of all times. He could probably quote entire books of the Old Testament. And you know what he says? Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry. Now look what his ministry is, which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's all he wanted to do. People are so worried of trying to figure out how, what is it that I'm supposed to do? What is the ministry that I'm supposed to do? I can't do anything. Mona. I can't even make a mess right. How do I serve the Lord? So many people are so worried about what they're supposed to do. Did you know it doesn't matter what you do for the Lord as long as you just get to testify of the grace of God? If you start to see your ministry is just an opportunity to testify of the gospel of the grace of God, you'll be able to do it. Amen? That is so revolutionary. The gospel is the good news that sinners don't have to go to hell. That they can be saved from the wrath to come. That their lives can be transformed by the power of the resurrection. The grace of God is the kindness that God shows towards sinners when he should condemn them. For by grace are you saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what's great about it? I get to tell about it. I get to testify about it. There's a great story in the Old Testament. King David is out of Jerusalem. He's been kicked out by his son. And there's been a battle going on. The general Joab has fought. And the battle is now finished. David's army has won. But David is up in a hole. He's up in a protected area. And the battle is going on. And David's waiting for news. And Joab's got this one guy. He's got this one guy who's like, let me go tell him. Let me go tell the David. Let me go tell King David about the battle. And he says, you don't have any, I don't have all the information yet. Well, I just want to go. So Joab says, go on. So the guy running. I mean, these old, if you remember, they had no telephones. They had no way of communication except running. So about 15 miles, he's puffing it, man. And King David's up, and he sees this runner coming up. And he's just, he hadn't stopped. He hasn't looked back at all. And he comes up. And I like this guy, all right? Joab does, that was when he sent another runner who comes up behind him. But this runner's coming up, and he comes up, and he stands up in front of David. And David says, what's the news of the battle? The battle's over. And David says, so, tell me about it. He says, I don't know. I just know it's over. And he says, you don't have any more news? No. He says, stand aside. Because there's another runner coming up, and the other runner gets up there, and he says, you won. But the idea is, I like that guy. What you find fault with him is he had nothing to say. He didn't say whether their army had won or lost. Listen, I'd rather have a church full of people who at least wanted to go. Amen. But you know, if you're saved, you do have something to say. You don't have to have it all theologically correct. You don't have to know all the ins and outs. You don't know whether there's a book of Hezekiah or not. There's not, by the way. I always love doing sword drills, and I ask people to go to Hezekiah 3:17. And half the church is looking for it. Do you know, you don't have to know all that stuff. All you need to know is, has God saved you and how? You ought to be able to testify of the grace of God. I get to tell people about it. I get to tell them what happened to me on the 15th of June, 1980. I love to tell them. That's 31 years ago this June. I get to go everywhere and tell the message that Jesus saves. He goes back there, look in Acts chapter 20, look up there, he says, verse 20, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to everyone, to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Not what church you belong to, not how many times you've been baptized, not know how much you've memorized, but have you repented towards God and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the ministry of all ministries. Hey, you need to get into any ministry and see it as your opportunity to start testifying. If you want to try the Sunday school ministry, you know what you get to do? You get to tell hungry little hearts that Jesus loves sinners. And he saves sinners. And he strengthens them as his children. And he blesses them. And he nurtures them. And he uses them. And one day, he's going to take them with him to heaven. And you can testify that. You can say, I is one. Amen? What about the media ministry? Well, I already did. What about the welcome ministry? I didn't have the welcome ministry here. I added it later. What all the, you get to tell people just by the smile and the joy that this is the place to be. You're about to hear a message that'll tell you about the grace of God. That's a welcome ministry. A ministry is simply an opportunity for you to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Maybe it is in the media. Maybe it's back there helping out. And really, Barry needs a lot of help. But it's really, it's an opportunity where you are recording these things because we put them on the internet. And you know what? We have dozens of people who listen to me preaching, which is a miracle. And then they write and they say, this helped. It's a ministry. It is making CDs available, and we've done videos and things. Why? So that people can hear of the grace of God. Get some hope and get some encouragement. Bus and transportation ministry, you get involved in that, you get to help bring people who wouldn't be able to come any other way. Your sacrifice of your time to go and bring people to hear the gospel of the grace of God is the bus ministry. What about the crash ministry? I know it's called the crash ministry, but it really, it's the crash. It is a nursing, it is a loving ministry. It, you know, when you're in the crash, and I know it is probably, no man could handle it more than 20 minutes. There'd be blood under the door. But you know what the crash ministry is? You are enabling parents to be able to listen and to hear the gospel of the grace of God without interruption. That's what you're doing. And while you're back there, it blesses those kids. Because they're in church and they're with other kids and they're learning Bible songs. And there they know mommy and daddy are being changed. Mommy and daddy are falling in love again with each other and with God. And it is a ministry of the grace of God. Amen. How about evangelism ministry? You get to go out two by two telling folks door to door that there still is a God and that there's a way back. And it's through the blood of Jesus Christ, all because of the grace of God, not because of works of our religion. Evangelism, just get in and you'll find yourself at the door, knees knocking, saying, let me tell you what happened to me. That's all you have to do. They say, oh, I'm an atheist. Glad to meet you. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Oh, I believe in evolution. Glad to meet you. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. You say, I don't have the answers for them. You don't need the answers for them. The answer they need is Jesus Christ. And the way they're going to be interested in wanting to know about Jesus Christ is if they see an interest in you. If they see that you are passionate and you are in love and you are consumed by a person that they never met. And you get to testify. How about discipleship ministry? You get to help mold and shape young Christian lives into faithful men and women, and you teach them. You're teaching already people who are saved how to reach out and disciple more, all by the grace of God. How about the preaching ministry? I think what I do, everybody ought to be jealous of. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. But everybody ought to be going, Lord, I'd like to know what it's like behind that pulpit. I'd like to know what happens when you get in on it. That's what we used to call it when I was a young preacher boy. When God gets in on the preaching, it's hot. Oh, how come that's there? I was at the preaching ministry. I'll go back to Reformers Unanimous in a minute. I get to testify every week how powerful the grace of God is. In 2 weeks, I get to go over to London. I get to go and tell a small church in London about the power of the grace of God. Just encourage them. You couldn't pay me to do anything else. Well, you could. But no, sorry. But I couldn't do anything else. You could pay me for doing something else that I won't do because I'm going to continue doing this, is what I'm saying. Reformers Anonymous, Addictions Ministry, you get to go to people that otherwise would never, ever be reached and tell them of the grace of God. And you know what's sweet? You listen to Tony's testimony. You listen to Jim's testimony. You listen to what God can do with broken people. It's all by grace. Amen. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. This world needs to hear a testimony. And a music ministry. You know what happens when you get up and you sing? You ought to see the faces of you guys when you first come in. And then the music starts and you go, and they finish, and I get up to preach, and I go, yes, now I can hit them. Music ministry is all about the grace of God, isn't it? Look at that. Stay with a simple gospel. Folks, by nature, let me finish. By nature, we love attention. We love pampering. We love people serving us. But Christ teaches us not to be served, but to serve. Not to get, but to give. And he calls every Christian to be like him. He calls every Christian to be a servant. To serve the Lord is my ministry. I don't care where it is or what I do. The question is, when I'm serving, I want to make sure that I stay serving. How are you going to do that? How are you going to stay serving by deciding I'm going to finish? I may not do very good, Kathy. Oh, shut up. I'll pay you later. Finishing my course. You know, I remember when we started, Tony remembers when we met in Blarney, in that old preaching shed. I had no idea whether we'd ever get out of that shed. But it didn't matter to me. I just loved, wasn't there a different spirit? Those of you who remember being in Blarney, when we got in there and we started singing in the preaching, it wasn't a shed anymore, was it? It was amazing. It was freezing. It was cold. There were little things on four legs walking around and our tail. But it was something. And folks, let me just tell you, I didn't care how long we stayed there. I just wanted to finish. Amen. Same thing. If we have to be stuck here, which I pray we don't, but I'm going to finish. Amen. If you want to stay serving, I mean, you were called by being saved. From the moment you got saved, you were called to do something. If you're going to get into it, I'm going to tell you, you need to stay in it. You needed to become a finisher. Secondly, you need to make sure you keep joy. If you lose your joy, you've lost almost everything. If you don't have joy, I pity you, because that sun out there is not helping you. Oh, that's too hot. Oh, the grass is turning brown. Oh, man, we're going to have to go on restrictions on water. Nothing will help. Bless you. Nothing will bless you. Keep your joy. And lastly, stay with the simple gospel. Stay, you know, people all throw all kinds of crazy things. Just tell the gospel of the grace of God. Do you know that gospel? Has Jesus changed your life? Good night, man. I don't care what ministry you sit back there with, Barry. It's an opportunity to get the gospel out. We'd like to one day have a live streaming internet thing so that Andrew can finally get some good preaching while he's over in the States. And all kinds of things. And it's just an opportunity to testify of the grace of God. Every one of our ministries. There is no ministry that we do that doesn't testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Some of you will never know real joy because you've never been born again. You yourself are sitting here in a church and it's a religion to you. Let me tell you, this ain't anything. It's Jesus. If you'll believe the gospel of the grace of God yourself, that he died for you and he was buried and he rose again, if you will surrender to that simple, powerful truth that it was for you, you'll find the joy of salvation. But some of you don't know joy only because you're still wanting to be served instead of serving. Some of you still only want to come to church. Some of you think some of you come in, don't get mad at me now, well, go ahead, I don't care. Some of you come in here at 11 o'clock and you think, well, I'm doing you a favor for being here. You know what I want to tell you? Get off it. And realize this is about serving the Lord. This is about finding a place where you can give your life and not care about yourself anymore and find joy. Amen? It's time to get busy. This month we're going to find a way to get you busy. Amen? Let's be willing. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, just before we sing our invitation, this is the time where all of the